Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Successful media and public affairs consultant, accomplished entrepreneur and national writer and contributor, attorney who served in the Missouri House of Representatives, worked in the White House and CNN, thought leader, entrepreneur, and host who takes the conversation to the next level.
Prepare to get rare access to fascinating guests.
You're connected. You have the it factor. You've joined
Grill Nation.
Everybody over there!
Get
on up! Everybody up there!
Get into it!
Connect with Jason on Twitter at Jason Grill. Connect with the show on Twitter at Grill Nation Show and online at grillnationshow.com.
Welcome your host of Grill Nation, always dressed up and ready to go even in a radio studio. Here's Jason Grill.
Hello and welcome to the Grill Nation Show. I'm your host, Jason Grill. Thanks for joining me today on 980 AM KMBZ as well as on iTunes via podcast and at grillnationshow.com. On grillnationshow.com, you can find a list of all of my sponsors, which I'll get to in a second, contact information, as well as photos of all of our guests and each and every show that we've done over the years. I want to thank our partners and supporters of the Grill Nation Show. Title sponsors of the show are Truss, MoBank, BOK Financial, and Two West Companies and Ryan Rink. Contributors to the Grill Nation Show are Brian Sarf, True Wealth & Company, guest host and honor contributor, The Rieger and Jay Rieger & Co., Ryan Mabey, guest host and honor contributor. And today's awesome contributor, partner, guest on the Grill Nation Show is the KCADC, the Kansas City Area Development Council. They sponsor a show each, I think, quarterly, actually, and at least this year. And we've had a lot of fun talking to them about some of their initiatives, one of which we're going to talk about today, which is the Kansas City Animal Health Corridor. And in studio with me today, we have some really great people here bringing up their bios as we speak. We have Kimberly Young, who's the president of the KC Animal Health Corridor. Scott Borman, who is the VP of Commercial Operations in the United States at Merck Animal Health. And Kent Luther, who's the vice president of sales, companion animal business at Bear Animal Health. And I hopefully, if I screwed those up, I apologize. I was reading off your LinkedIn pages. We're going to learn more about you all on the show. So welcome to the show. How are you all?
Fantastic.
Doing great.
We all can talk at the same time. We're excited to have you. First off, let's talk to Kimberly. Kimberly, tell us about what you do and what the KC Animal Health Corridor does.
The KC Animal Health Corridor is an industry association in Kansas City. We are focused on supporting the growth of the existing animal health companies, as well as attracting new companies, new jobs, and new investment into Kansas City. The Kansas City Animal Health Corridor is really a unique organization. It highlights and really promotes the animal health assets in Kansas City. We have the largest concentration globally of animal health assets. We have companies that produce products, manufacture research, and develop products for companion animals, so your furry friends, dogs, cats, at home, as well as food animal. So they are ensuring that we have all the products to make sure that we have a globally safe food supply.
And you've been in this role for how long now?
I've been in this role for about 7.5 years.
Wow. Yeah. That's good. That's good. Yeah. You have a rich history, too, and in jobs such as these throughout the years. I saw some of your background and whatnot, and you grew up. Did you grow up in the area? Or you,
I did. I grew up in Lawrence, Kansas, Rock Chalk.
There you go. There you go. And you brought some of your friends today who are on your board. Is that correct?
That's correct. Scott Borman is our current chairman, and Kent Luther is our current vice chairman. In 2019, he will become the chairman of the corridor.
Scott, tell us a little bit about yourself. I know you do a lot of great things in Kansas City.
Thanks, Jason. Certainly, I've been at Merck for 6 years, Merck Animal Health, and we manufacture, obviously, vaccines and pharmaceutical products for dogs, cats, and the livestock industry. I've lived in the Kansas City area since about 1998, if I remember correctly, so just a few years, and have spent over 25 years in the animal health industry. And it's a pleasure to serve alongside other colleagues here in the corridor to help support the initiatives of the animal health industry. And we look forward to today's program.
And you're a Texas A&M alum.
Texas A&M, fighting Texas Aggies, yes.
We're both in the SEC now. I'm a Mizzou Law School grad, and it's fun, right?
It's fun.
College football down there. I haven't been to a game yet down there, but I'd love to go. Check it out, man. It'd be great. And to your right is Kent Luther. Kent, tell us about yourself and how you got involved in the industry.
Sure. Kent Luther with Bayer Animal Health, and I've been with Bayer for 11 years. I've actually been in the animal health industry for 32 years. My first job out of college, before the internet, I answered an ad in the Kansas City Star and began my career as an inside sales representative for a company used to be based here, Cooper's Animal Health. And I've been in animal health ever since and enjoyed every year and every moment of it.
That's awesome. That was my question is how does someone get into this industry? I mean, is it something that you all thought you'd join one day, or is it something that just kind of happened? How did that all happen? Because, you know, it's such a growing industry. I want to know, take a look back and let me know how you guys got involved and why.
I can go first there. So I graduated from Iowa State with an ag business degree. And I grew up on a farm, and I knew that I wanted to be in agriculture. Didn't know that I wanted to be in animal health. But once I graduated college and moved down to Kansas City, I just obviously looked in the paper and answered an ad for animal health. It was one of the first letters that I sent out. And in 2 weeks, I had a job and began to find out what the animal health business was really about. And I've progressed on since then and loved every minute of it. It's great people. It's good competition. And it's doing good things for our pets and the animals that are owned by our producers and consumers.
And you've been at Bayer now for over 10 years?
Yeah, 11 years, yeah.
Wow, that's great. What about you, Scott?
My path was similar to Kent's, actually. I had a major professor at Texas A&M as I was completing a master's program. I finished my undergrad, and I had gotten out and spent a couple of years in some service-oriented work in Texas. I had gone back to school to pursue a master's, and my major professor, as I completed a master's program, called me in one day and said, what are you interested in doing? And we had a conversation. He handed me a card, and he said, here, this person was just in here looking for somebody to help with some sales and marketing programs. And it happened to be an animal health company. And I applied and have, very similar to Kent, have been there since and have enjoyed certainly the industry, the cause, but more importantly, the people. Mm-hmm. And that's something I think is very unique, not only for this area, but the industry as a whole.
Mm-hmm. That's fascinating. Kimberly, what about you? Yeah. What drew you to this? I know that you've been with KCADC for a while now and worked in different sectors and generating jobs and creating new companies here in Kansas City and throughout Missouri and the region. How'd you get involved?
Yeah, so I have been with the animal health industry and the KC Animal Health Corridor for 7.5 years. I do not have an ag background like Scott and Kent, and I have not grown up in the animal health industry. My background is I have worked for both the state of Kansas and state of Missouri,
right,
as you mentioned, doing business development. Mm-hmm. I did spend time in Wichita, Kansas, and in Wichita they have an aviation cluster, so they
right.
are the air capital of the world as they promote themselves. So I'm familiar with cluster development, which is really what the Kansas City Animal Health Corridor is focused on. But as Kent and Scott said, I now would never work in any other industry. And it is really, truly the people that in this industry and their passion for what they do, the passion for their industry, and the really the kind of co-opetition of the industry. The corridor is so unique that our board is the executives of competitive companies.
Mm. Interesting. I want to talk about that more after the break. I also want to talk about kind of your strategic initiatives, your growth, and how this all happened here in this area when we come back from the break. You're listening to the Grill Nation Show with Jason Grill.
Magic.
Welcome back to the Grill Nation Show on 980 AM. I appreciate you listening today and joining us, whether you're on the radio or on iTunes via podcast or online at grillnationshow.com. I want to thank our great partner and supporter, the KCADC. Their website is online at thinkkc.com. They join us quarterly, and today we're talking about the KC Animal Health Corridor, a huge initiative here in the region, and it's very exciting to talk about. It's something that I'm very excited to learn about, and I'm joined by Kimberly Young, who's the president of the KC Animal Health Corridor, Scott Borman, who's the VP of U.S. Commercial Services at Merck Animal Health, and Kent Luther, who's vice president of commercial operations at Bayer Animal Health. It's great to have you guys all back in the studio. Kimberly, let's start with you. Why is this kind of like, you know, I'm learning about this as we go. I've heard about it, but I want to learn more. Why is what you guys are doing in this animal health corridor such an important asset for Kansas City? Talk to me about kind of the geographical area of it and why it's so important.
Yeah. So the geography of the Kansas City Animal Health Corridor, we go from Columbia, Missouri to Manhattan, Kansas, north to Maryville, Missouri, and south to Emporia, Kansas. And within that region, 56% of the global revenues for the entire industry are generated from companies that have a presence. So it is globally, it's the largest concentration. And it really ties back to the ag history of this area. We're in the Midwest. We're in the heartland of our country. We're an ag-based economy. The stockyard started here over 100 years ago. And when all of the animals were coming to Kansas City, this industry naturally was established. As the animals came in, you had to have companies to support those animals through feed as well as through vaccines, as Scott and Kent mentioned earlier.
56% of total worldwide animal health diagnostics and pet food sales from that area that you just mentioned.
That's correct.
Pretty crazy, right? When you really think about it, worldwide, it's right here.
It's right here.
Wow. Yeah. And if you're not in the ag industry or you're just moving to Kansas City, you know, maybe you don't know about it. And that's kind of where you come in and your organization. So what is our value proposition here? What makes us so unique? Guys, you want to talk about that a little bit, or why do you think it's so great that we're located in this area? Because I know over the time, you know, everyone's always thought, how do we connect Columbia to Lawrence to Manhattan? And you guys basically have done that through this area with over 300 companies and tons of jobs being created. What is our true value proposition here, and why are we so unique?
And I might start and let Scott and Kent jump in. And you mentioned it, and it really is the connectivity of the region is our value proposition and our strength to take all of the companies that have a presence here who are competitors with one another and bring them together to work on big global issues, things that at a 30,000 foot view that they can all agree with working together and speaking with one voice, everyone benefits. Mm-hmm. And it certainly benefits this region. Mm-hmm. And through the course of over a decade, we have been able to work together to create a global brand for this region, to create a global brand for the industry and the work that we're doing. We provide unique engagement opportunities, and there really is a support system that we have created here for entrepreneurs in those middle stage companies.
You've also created a board, right?
We've also created a board, and that's what I'd love Scott and Kent to talk about from an executive perspective.
Mm-hmm. We got a lot of executives listening to the show and business folks and entrepreneurs that, you know, heck, they might have a company idea. Their company might want to work with you guys. You know, what is it like? What was the establishment of the board like? Your leaders, obviously, in this world, you're leading global companies. What's it like to be a part of what we're doing here in this unique corridor?
For me, it's awesome. I think, you know, one of the things, we have over 300 animal health companies here in the
That's just Kansas shocking City. To me. It's mind-blowing.
So that kind of makes it an epicenter. And I think one of the things that makes it unique is the animal health industry and the senior leaders that started this, they looked at it and said, hey, we have all these assets right here. What can we do with one voice? And then it just kind of snowballed into, you know, we started out with 150 members at our first homecoming dinner that we have annually, and we're over 1,200 this year, you know, in 8 years.
We're talking about all over the world.
Yeah.
We're talking about people from you know, Asia, Europe. I mean, every country.
Yeah, I think the other thing that's unique too is you look at, as Kent mentioned, over 300 companies, right? And as Kim mentioned, the geographic area. But I think it's also key to point out too the diversity of mm-hmm. the types of companies that mm-hmm. are there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, certainly as you look at, you know, everything from biotech startups to you know, bench science organizations that will coordinate research trials, to research farms, you know, manufacturers of ingredients, whole scale manufacturings, whether it be pharmaceutical products or biological products, the veterinary industry, the livestock industry, which has such a big presence here in the Midwestern part of the U.S., I think also helps contribute to the uniqueness. Itself is also some of the diversity that we see within our industry.
You talked about that. I was going to ask you what kind of products and services are provided by these 300 some companies and 20,000 plus employees working in them. Now, you mentioned a lot of them, and you know, vaccines, flea and tick, research is done. You guys do a lot of things like that, and then obviously you affect the global food supply and our family pets. So you kind of do it all in this area, right? And we're doing everything.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's amazing. And what kind of animals are we talking about here? I mean, for our listeners, maybe like me, that aren't that just think about dogs and cats, what other animals are we talking about here?
Scott, you want to talk about some of the species that you have products for?
Yeah, I mean, we have certainly, as you mentioned, we manufacture products for dogs and cats. In the livestock space, it really is all species areas that we would have products for the most part. So certainly cattle, as we look at cattle products, the swine industry, which has a large presence as well, the poultry industry. Mm-hmm. So both turkeys and broilers are chickens. And then certainly one of the things that we're involved in as an organization as well is the aquaculture industry, which it's basically the production of fish.
Yeah.
Fish and fish production. And it's largely salmon catfish and tilapia today that are farmed.
Trends change, don't they? Those are the popular fish, aren't they?
I mean, from a protein source, obviously it's one of the fastest growing per capita consumption sources.
I tell you what, the fish we eat. You guys ought to love the movement to the protein based diets for people. I mean, geez. But I'll tell you what, man, you're making me hungry. I love fish. So we're talking about, what is that called again? Aquaculture.
Aquaculture.
Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. What do you have to add to that, Ken? I mean,
well,
you guys do
I
a
think
lot.
The other one is equine or horses.
Right? Oh, right.
Yeah, and then we've got a lot of products out there that are labeled for ferrets. You know, a lot of people, you got dogs, cats, ferrets, you got fish, you know, goldfish. You got a lot of things that people call pets.
What are we talking about? I know you've, Ken, believed in a lot in the economic development space as far as like, size and places, like where do these people work out of? Are they just typical office spaces? Are they farms? I mean, how does that all work in the corridor from a site selection? And when somebody comes to visit here from China and says, hey, I want to start a company or I want to bring jobs to America or whatever, how does that work? Where do they go? What are their options?
I would say that we have typically seen really two types of projects.
Mm-hmm.
And generally, international companies that do not currently have a presence in North America, and that would generally mean the U.S.,
mm-hmm.
We are a natural fit for them because of our ecosystem. They can establish their brand faster here, and they have the support infrastructure to be able to establish that brand. Those companies are generally looking for the incubator space that we have or flex space. They generally start out with maybe a handful of employees. This is a regulated industry, a mm-hmm. regulated environment, and it can take time for them to bring products and get regulatory approval. And what they want to do is establish operations to start to get that brand presence and that brand equity out in front of customers while they're simultaneously working on the regulatory pathway.
Mm-hmm.
The other products that we see are projects that we see are from companies that may be looking to relocate or expand that already have a U.S. presence. And those companies are generally looking for office space, sometimes lab space, but we see projects that where they are more looking for commercial operations.
Mm-hmm.
So it generally North American operations, back office. So it would be all of the executives from HR to accounting, finance, brand manager, sales, marketing.
You've got to really know your locations. I'll tell you what, with this big of an area. I mean, when people come to you and say, hey, I want to relocate to wherever, Middle Missouri, and, you know, we're based here. I mean, you really have to kind of know what's available, right?
You do. We are blessed, though. Our partners are both state of Kansas, state of Missouri, as mm-hmm. well as all of our community partners. So we work very closely with the economic development professionals and all of the counties, cities, and as well as at the state level. So we're very blessed with very good partners that have a deep understanding of the assets that are in their portfolio for companies.
It's nice to see. We'll get into some of your strategic priorities of the corridor. I know there's some such innovation, workforce development, public policy, and other things you all are doing that we'll get into at the next segment. But it's nice to see collaboration and cooperation, as you mentioned, between both states, working with KCADC and the KC Animal Health Corridor. Something you don't always see, but it's exciting to have it stretch between two different states and so many great communities. So congratulations on that success. We'll talk more about that after the break on Grill Nation.
I got that sunshine in my pocket. Got that good soul in my feet. I feel that hot blood in my body when it drops.
Welcome back to the Grill Nation show. I appreciate you listening today on 980 AM and on iTunes via podcast, or if you're on our website at grillnationshow.com. You can connect with me on social media. Just search for my name, or you can connect with me on Twitter at Jason Grill and at Grill Nation Show. Again, we're joined today. We're talking about the KC Animal Health Corridor. Very excited to have the team in here today. Some really great guests provided by the KC Area Development Council. Their website is thinkkc.com. You can find out more information about everything going on there and this exciting, great things that are happening at the KC Animal Health Corridor. Again, joined by the president of the KC Animal Health Corridor, Kimberly Young. Also joined by Scott Borman, who is VP of U.S. Commercial Services at Merck Animal Health, and Kent Luther, who's the Vice President of Commercial Operations at Bayer Animal Health. Welcome back to the show, everyone. We were going to talk about some of the strategic priorities of the KC Animal Health Corridor, and one of them is a key area to highlight is workforce development. I just want to leave that out there because something in Kansas City that we talk about all the time. Talk to us about kind of the KC Animal Health Corridor and workforce development and why it's so important. We can start with Kimberly. If that's cool with you, Kimberly?
That is fantastic. When the companies look at their assets and their strengths, and all of the companies that are represented in the corridor and the companies on the board, their people are their biggest asset. And they want to continue to invest back in their current employees, as well as look to the future and say, 5, 10, 15 years out, we need to make sure that we have a pipeline of employees that have the skills that we need, that are keeping up with the ever-changing mm-hmm. Industry demands and as technology changes and consumer demands change. And so it was really about 4 years ago, under the direction of our board leadership, that we said we need to really focus in two areas. We need to close a skills gap, and primarily in the manufacturing, the biomanufacturing space, there was really a skills gap there, and we need to close an interest gap.
Hmm.
As farms are consolidating and you have less family farms and they're becoming more corporate farms, people are moving further away from the farm. And as Kent mentioned earlier, kind of just that awareness as a whole of what are all of the different careers within the ag industry and animal health. How do we get into the classrooms?
Mm-hmm.
And, students today, they get direction from their parents, they get directions from counselors and from teachers. And if those pathways aren't aware that, at Hill's Pet Nutrition, there's a flavor scientist job, then they're not going to pursue
That's true.
Education in that. And so we are working together collaboratively with all of our companies to develop an educational toolkit that lives on Explore KC Careers, which is our web portal for the industry here in Kansas City, to really highlight and promote all of the different career opportunities. And those opportunities have variety of educational pathways. So some could be certification, some are postgraduate degrees.
There are a lot of opportunities, guys, isn't there? I mean, you guys have been in the industry for so long. Talk to us about that, because people thinking about getting into the ag industry maybe don't know about all their options. There's a lot of them.
Yeah, there's a huge variety of job opportunities and, mm-hmm. and skill disciplines, as Kim mentioned. But you think about the animal health industry, and obviously, you know, a popular thought that many have is certainly the science element. But there's also the business element, Jason, right? Mm-hmm. There's sales, marketing, finance, legal, you know, HR, all of the things that would comprise the normal operating functions of any other business are very much alive in the animal health industry as well. And I think one of the more common things that we run into is the assumption that you have to be a DVM or you have to be a veterinarian to be interested or get involved in the space. And you really don't. And that's something I think that we, as part of the corridor, have continued to do a good job with in terms of promoting the industry and the career opportunities available there.
Mm-hmm. And Kit, what do you have? What do you think?
Well, I think the other thing is similar to what Scott said. A lot of people think, oh, you have to come from an agricultural background. Well, we've got many people that work in our office in PR and communications and marketing and sales that did not come from an agriculture background at all, but have a passion for pets or a passion for animals or a passion for the industry. And I think that's one of the hooks that we have, is once you get into the industry, if you don't have the passion, you're going to get it real quick, because that's just what it's about, I think, at least especially here in Kansas City. And that makes it easier to have a lot of advocates from different backgrounds, right? They're not just agriculture. They're not just veterinary. They're not just production. They're all kinds of backgrounds that go into animal health companies.
And you're always thinking about innovation, which is another priority, advancing innovation. People don't think about that as much. You know, there's a tech science aspect for people that maybe are innovators. And I know that you guys host an investment forum, which brings a lot of these people together here in Kansas City. Tell us about that and why innovation and technology is so important to what you're trying to do here in the Animal Health Corridor.
Yeah, this year was our 10th anniversary of the Investment Forum. It started out as the first investment forum exclusively focused on the animal health industry. There are now globally some other events that are similar to our event, but we still host the largest investment forum globally for the industry. It's critical for us to bring in and find entrepreneurs globally that have the best ideas and match them with existing strategic partners as well as capital. So venture capital, private equity companies, could be angel investment, but that financial firm. And it really supports our position as the epicenter of animal health by bringing all three different parties together, from the entrepreneur to the financial community to strategic partners, to make sure that we are providing a platform, we're providing an ecosystem to help bring new advancement and new industry or new technologies into the industry. Every company has a pipeline that they're developing through their own R&D.
Mm-hmm.
But that is not the only pathway that they look at to advancing technology. Sometimes they look to make acquisitions and or license a technology in addition to their own R&D pipeline.
Over $280 million as in the first 9 years was raised, capital was raised. It's mind-boggling. 350 companies have applied. You had over 14 countries represented in nearly every U.S. state right here in Kansas City.
That is correct.
I mean, and I think you guys do so many great things. It's such an asset we have here. Mm-hmm. That's incredible, $280 million raised by these companies.
And many of the companies that pitch may be looking to just be acquired or have a licensing deal or a development agreement.
They want these two guys' companies to take notice, right?
They
the big
do.
Boys.
They do. They do.
And you guys acquire companies a lot, and you obviously believe in new innovations and startups and entrepreneurs and what's going on. Obviously, you encourage that. That's kind of how Silicon Valley got started, right?
Right, absolutely. You know, innovation comes in many forms, and, you know, as Kim had stated earlier, all of the companies have pipelines of products, but then you also look and see, is there another smaller entrepreneurial company out there that's maybe ahead of you time-wise, and 2 or 3 years getting a product earlier makes a world of difference. And also, I think innovation is not just limited to new products. It's how we service those products and how we service our customers, right? New shipping, new logistics. How do we get our products from point A to B? Is it faster? Is it better? Biosecure. There's a lot of innovation that is not just from the product side of things that we bring to the area as well.
You know, the animal industry, I feel like, is growing both in kind of your world, which is more of like the inside baseball world, but also in the mainstream world. I feel like pets now are part of a family even more than they ever have been. Have you guys noticed that? People, I mean, I'm walking down the street. I saw a pet the other day. It's getting colder out with like pretty much a designer jacket on. I mean, there's just some pets are like part of the family now. I mean, animals are part of your family. And I feel like smart marketers have really kind of taken advantage of that. And there's just, it's part of the family. I feel like the animal, both mainstream and inside baseball, is really growing here. Everyone's taking notice, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
absolutely. Well, and I think you know, you talk about pets. I have 6 dogs.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, I have 4 kids and 6 dogs.
Now, so. Is that legal? We got to check the rules here. Yeah, yeah. Are you in? What city?
Yeah, yeah. So I'm not in a city. So
there you go. Oh, yeah,
far enough out. Yeah. But a lot of people that pets are their children, right?
Mm-hmm. Love it.
I think from a business perspective, Jason, as you look, depending on what market research data you want to look at, I mean, you know, the pet space you were talking about.
Yeah.
Right. Has a compounded annual growth rate of about 5 to 6% for the last 15 to 20 years. So the American consumer is spending more and more on their pet every year.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think one of the next big waves of pet ownership is really we're seeing from the millennial generation.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Quite interesting. And, they're buying pets before they have kids. It's a trend that is more and more are aware of the trend and the popularity of pets.
I mention that just because with all the startups and entrepreneurs out there, there's always someone trying to figure out a way. I get on Facebook, you know, and every time I get on there now, I see ads or videos of these new contraptions for your dog, and I'm just blown away. Like, wow, maybe I should get that. I mean, there's just so much, stuff.
I thought
there.
Of that earlier when we were talking about innovation, right? And I think innovation takes a number of different forms, right? There's certainly innovation that maybe, as you know, our companies are used to from a science perspective, right? Is it looks at prevention of disease, maybe treatment of a common parasite. But one of the unique trends that we have going on in the industry right now is the intersection of digital technology, right, with wearables, big data, and how you manage that and what do you do with that to help make decisions about pet care in the livestock industry.
Changing everything. And I want to preview our last and final segment today. This has been a great show so far. And our last segment, I want to talk to you about what has changed in the last 10 years and what is going to continue to change. Bring out your crystal balls. We need those in the last segment. You're listening to the Grill Nation Show. Hope you're enjoying our show on the KC Animal Health Corner. Hello and welcome back to the Grill Nation Show. I'm your host, Jason Grill. I want to thank all of our listeners here today, and also want to thank one of our partners and supporters of the show, the KCADC, for setting up this awesome show today with the KC Animal Health Corridor. We've been talking all about it. Appreciate you listening today on 980 AM or on iTunes or on the Grill Nation Show website. We have Kimbler Young with us again, who's the president of the KC Animal Health Corridor, Scott Borman, the VP of U.S. Commercial Services at Merck Animal Health, and Kent Luther, Vice President of Commercial Operations at Bayer Animal Health. We were talking about big data and the future, and so I just kind of wanted to kind of talk about you guys started, I believe, in 2006-ish,
correct.
Right?
Yeah.
What has changed in the last 10 years, and kind of what are you guys excited about looking forward into the future with the animal health corridor and advancement in technologies? Where have we started, and where have we come to? It's exciting stuff.
It is exciting. The biggest change that we have seen from a corridor perspective in looking at the economy of Kansas City has been industry consolidation.
Mm-hmm.
And there has been a lot of consolidation. If you look back to 1990, I think I saw a list and there were like globally 50 large companies. And if you look today, depending on where you cut the revenues off at, you know, there's maybe 10 or 12 of the larger companies globally. So there has been a lot of consolidation within the industry on the pharmaceutical side. And then even on the pet food side, we've seen a lot of consolidation and we've seen big consumer brands buying pet food companies.
Mm.
So from an economic and community development perspective, keeping up with those changes as companies are buying each other and the names are changing and they're consolidating portfolios and some of that is spinning off and that creates other opportunity. That has been a lot to keep up with. And then also, we have seen more interest. And I think because of the consolidation, because it isn't a completely recession-proof industry, but people still tend to spend money on their pets, even in tough economic times, has been interest from investors, the increased interest from the investment community over the past 10 years.
And obviously, you've seen interest from across the world, right?
That's,
that we didn't have at the beginning before we started really touting this as one of our key areas of growth.
Absolutely, yeah. The development of the global brand has certainly been very beneficial economically for the region.
Love it. I love more capital investment too, right, guys?
And absolutely.
You've seen a lot more of that as well. You guys have an event you talked about, a homecoming event that you do each and every year. Talk to me about that because I know it's grown like crazy and there's a lot more coverage locally and nationally of that big event you have. You have everyone come together, right?
Yep. Homecoming is our annual event.
There's no football game.
There's no football game, but it is a totally, it's a playoff of that. You know, we think of Kansas City as the birthplace of the industry. And so we're welcoming everyone home. And we started out with 150 attendees this year. We had 1,200. It is companies and industry executives that come in from all over the world. We have had 23 countries represented at our homecoming dinner over the past 13 years since we've started that event.
It's awesome. Public policy, guys, you got, and everyone here, how does that make a difference? I know there's been some key accomplishments over the last few years. Talk to me about how you guys engage with public policy in your industry, because obviously it's very regulated. Anybody want to take that one?
No, I'll start off.
Yeah.
I think the biggest thing there is that, with Kim's leadership, we've got one voice. And so when you're sitting there at an advisory board meeting and you talk about, hey, upcoming public policy issues, you have all the companies represented and you get a lot of input from not just people there at the board, but from the whole industry. And then you just kind of boil that down to, okay, what are the three or four things that we really want to go tackle? And with one voice and a unified voice, you've got a lot better chance of getting things accomplished as opposed to a bifurcated, you know, five or six different companies saying more or less the same thing, but not exactly.
Is this mostly state issues, federal issues, or local issues?
All the above.
All of them. Okay. For public policy, I didn't know if it was, you know, I know a lot happens at the state level, but obviously it happens at the federal level too.
Yeah, obviously there's, you know, there's activity at all levels.
Mm-hmm.
I think as you look back over the last several years, there may have been more at the state level, simply with the announcement of NBAF.
And what is that? Because I read about that a little bit.
Yeah, so NBAF is the National Bio-Agri Defense Facility that today is currently located on Plum Island, which is a division of the government, USDA, and Homeland Security in collaboration, and we'll be relocating to the Manhattan area.
Mm-hmm.
So construction has begun, and obviously you know, there's a lot of interest in that simply because of the number of jobs and the opportunities that that will also bring to the corridor. And, you know, on behalf of the corridor, we're very pleased to, to have that and to determine how we best partner.
That's awesome. And that is a $1 billion investment.
That's correct.
What I've read.
$1.2 billion.
And it's a lot of jobs.
A lot of jobs. And it's essentially the national lab for our country.
And it'll
for
be
the
in
US.
Manhattan, Kansas.
Manhattan.
Wow. That was quite a good get for the area, right? Great, great get for the corridor. And it's going to bring in more people. And, you know, how many jobs have y'all created or have happened because of the Animal Health Corridor in Kansas City area?
Yeah. Since inception, we've had 60 new companies relocate or expand to the area. We only count initial jobs for mm-hmm. each one of those companies. And, you know, because it is a regulated environment, many of those companies start out with a handful of jobs. So their initial job investment is around $2,500. But that doesn't really capture the long-term growth. So I'll give you an example. There is a company located in our region. When they moved their North American headquarters here, they started out with 8. Today, they're one of the largest companies in our region, and they have around 500 employees. So, you know, in about 6-7 years, they have grown. So
they grow, they increase their payrolls, they increase their jobs, mm-hmm. and because of the way you guys count jobs, there's probably thousands more that you guys have helped create in this area.
Absolutely. And the capital investment. They continue to grow and expand, as well as, you know, many of the companies in our area grow and expand.
We have about a minute left on the show today. It's been a great show. I've learned a lot. What are some of the things you guys want to see us do better and improve upon here so we can continue to be the best and the best around? What are things you really are excited about working on in the upcoming years to come? Anybody want to take that?
I can start. Hopefully everybody gets time. But I think one of the things for us as an employer in the area, right, is the commitment to workforce development and just the leadership that the Corps Board provides on key issues of the industry. Mm-hmm. Right, as an employer, obviously it's great to have an initiative dedicated to workforce development that you can continue to invest in and shape. In order to provide the type of talent and opportunities that you need mm-hmm. With where a specific business might be going.
Talent is very important, and we got to keep improving that in every industry, but this is especially true in yours. Ken, anything you want to add?
Well, I think that one of the things that we also need to do is that as people spend more money on their pets and we get a growing population, we have to have that collaborative effort to help pets and then help our food supply be safe, and that happens by us all collaborating here at the Animal Health Corridor, and the more people we can get into the corridor, the better off we'll be in the long run.
It's amazing. And Kimberly, I want to congratulate you on everything you've done, and a few final thoughts from you.
I would just say capital.
Okay.
More capital. The more capital we can bring into the industry, the more it benefits everyone.
Here, cheers to that. I want to thank Kimberly Young, Scott Borman, and Kent Luther for joining me today on the Grilled Nation show. Fascinating show. I appreciate you guys coming in today.
Thank you, Jason.
Thank you.
Great to have you. We'll see you again next week here on the Grilled Nation show. Thanks for joining us on 980 AM. Have a great day.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.